Well, maybe you've been there. Those moments where you thought it was going to go one way and it hasn't been. These happen in long lines, maybe the DMV, those places that you dread to go. You understand that, where the frustration, you can feel it building. Like, I think about that this week with this heat advisory that we've had, even in making the choice to move back in here instead of being in the park, that's been this frustration of just feeling the heat. And it comes inside with you, right? Because it's not the heat then, it's your own blood is boiling and you feel like you need to let it out. And so you have this moment where you have this decision. You can be frustrated with the lines or the traffic. You can be frustrated that you finally sat down after getting some stuff done only for the kids to say, when is dinner? Or as soon as you fix one car, the second one breaks down. Or the air conditioning went out in your house this week. Or all sorts of things that I've heard from other people that they've had to deal with just this week. You can feel that tension. And the choice that becomes is, do you let it take over you, or do you find a way to create some joy? And this really comes from a story I'm going to tell at the end of the service, this whole idea that has been stuck with me, but basically, to not give the story away yet, but it came from this time of us, we got to go to Disney World recently, and it was a wonderful time, but nothing says frustration like the end of the day sitting in line for an hour to ride that one last ride again. And you're tired, your feet hurt, and you're stuck in line. But I'll come back to that. For our story starts here with Paul and Silas. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. Now picture this for a minute. They were doing a good thing. Here they are, they're preaching the word, they're trying to tell people about Jesus. But Paul's getting annoyed with each day. Because this slave girl is following them, and she has is demon-possessed, and this demon is shouting to the world that, hey, these guys have come to save you, which sounds like, wait a minute, that's good, right? Like, that's what they've come to do. But the problem is, because of who she is, what she's saying is almost discrediting them and what they're trying to do. Plus, we all understand that sometimes just having someone follow you around saying the same thing over and over, that alone can get tedious. And after it says days, Paul, being human, finally snaps, but unlike us who would yell and tirade, he just simply says, be healed and cast the demon out. I mean, you've seen that, right? Like, we've done something good, maybe not with the best intentions, but you do something good. It's like, just to get it done with. You fix, help someone with the project that they've been asking for months about. You do the thing, you finally, okay, I'm doing it. And then it comes with ungratefulness, complaining, or in their case, it comes with a mob. Here they are, they've cast this demon out, but all that the guys that own the slave girl can think of is, we just lost our money. So now Paul and Silas find themselves in jail, beaten and bruised. I mean, can you picture this? At 6 o'clock at night, you find yourself in prison, blood still dripping. It hasn't even had time to dry yet. You can feel the aches and pains, and you're just slumped against the wall going, well, that did not go how we thought today was going to go. And that's where they find themselves. But for them, they decide, it says at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Like, I love the fact that their response in all this is, let's sing a song. And it had to be unusual. And the reason I think it had to be unusual is why the writer added, and the prisoners were listening. something different is going on, and all of a sudden, they're not begging to be let out. They're not shouting at the guards. They're not crying in their cell. No, they're sitting there, and they're singing, and the other prisoners are like, man, that's different. And so it's enough of a shock that the author says, no, you need to hear this. Even the prisoners were listening to this moment. And you've seen that, right? Like, those small things. I love that we're in here, but man, when I was planning this sermon, I kept thinking of all the things I was going to say when we were outside. So I'm shifting gears as we go. But Mackenzie helped me out. I was walking in, and she's not even paying attention right now. I love it. By the way, kids, pay attention. I am going to bring y'all all up near the end of the sermon, so you've got to be ready for that. But Mackenzie, I walked in, and I loved it because this is how I love kids so much. They find the littlest things to find joy in. And I forgot how much I found joy in these little things until I saw her doing it. There is nothing like seeing how many markers you can stack together to see how long you can get it before it breaks. But that's what I'm talking about, like those little things of joy. Not the going to Disney World, it's the smile, the hug, it's the compliment that someone randomly gives you while you're checking out that just makes your day, that they like your hair, your eyes, something like that. Those are the choices we have, because Peter says, he says, God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. And we think of these big gifts, but truth is, most of us have the ability to smile. Most of us have the ability to give a hug, to share a compliment, to give a gift. I was reading an article talking about 50 things that bring me joy, and I actually found a couple of these different lists, and I liked how simple these lists were. Feeling the sun on your skin, going for a walk with a friend, sharing a cup of coffee, that first taste of a sip of coffee in the morning. Like those little things, they're not big, but they bring us joy. And how easily those things are to share. Mother Teresa said this famous quote, "We will never know how much just a simple smile will do." Like, we don't know what the other person is going through sometimes, and I love how much just thinking that maybe my smile changed someone's whole trajectory, that their life was going one way, and that's all it took was that simple smile to change someone's whole day. But this is where I always want to remind us, this idea of choosing joy, it is a choice. And it's important to remember that choosing joy doesn't take away what's going on. They were still in prison. They were still facing possibly a trial. They did not know what was ahead of them. James says it this way, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy." It says, when troubles come, not if. When troubles come, consider it great joy. And James goes down the perseverance route, but I go down the route of, listen, I love the line. You have two choices in a lot of things when it comes to some of these things. You can either cry or laugh about it, and I choose laughing. I'm one of those people that I will find the silver lining. I will look for something funny to say about the situation because the other alternative just leaves me angry and frustrated. And so I'm the one who's going to try and figure out a way to make it endurable. And so that's what we're called to. I heard this great story on Joy FM. They were talking about this idea of these little things and how they can change everything. And the radio host was talking about how he saw these teenage boys. He's walking into Walmart, and he's in the parking lot, and he sees these two boys. And you know how it is when there's an empty parking lot. You don't feel like following the lanes. They're cutting across because it's open. Unfortunately, there's a lady coming down one of the lanes that they can't see, and they get to that point right before they're about to hit. They notice each other, and they slam on the brakes, and the lady starts blaring on her horn. And he's like, no, don't get me wrong. The boys are in the wrong. But he's like, in that moment, you're just waiting. He goes, because the situation is set like you intend. You expect it to go this one way. He's like, the lady throws up her hands after hitting the horn. You can tell she shouted something. And the boys throw up their hands. And he's like, I'm just waiting for it. He's like, if someone gets out of the car, do I have to step in? And he goes, the boys throw up their hands, though, and start dancing. And he goes, it was hilarious. And in that moment, everything shifted. The woman laughed, gave a dance rhythm back, and both drove on their separate ways. And the comment he made was, isn't that interesting that someone chose a simple act of joy in that moment instead? And a situation that you think is going one way can go completely a different way by one person making the choice to do something different. That's what we're talking about. That's truly what it means, I think, to be a Christian. Jesus told us, he said, so with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Like, that's what we have as Christians. We should be the ones that always choose joy, because no one can take that away, because it doesn't matter what's going on right now. It matters in the sense that, yes, it's a part of our lives, but ultimately we can see a bigger picture beyond this moment. And so we can take joy in the fact that, you know what, yeah, today is hard, but I have a God who's with me, so I can get through this. Again, it doesn't change the fact that there are bills to pay, that it's hot, things don't work, bad news still happens, but we have a God who is good, who promises an eternity with us one day, who even says now we can talk to him in these moments. And even here as a community, as a church, we have each other. So I wasn't sure how long this was going to take, so I wanted to make sure I got to this part. So this is where I want to invite the kids up. So they can come up here. We'll call it like story time with Andrew if they want. Sure, Zeke, if you want to come up over here too, you can. I just want to introduce y'all to my friend. Y'all can stand right here. So I got the chance, like I said, to go to Disney World. Oh, this is going to be fun. Here's Zeke, you can hang out down here with them. Now, I originally thought when I did this, I was just going to wear him on my back. So when we went to Disney World, I got to go to Galaxy's Edge. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. Last time I went to Disney World, they were 3 months from getting to open this. I longingly looked over the construction tape and could see it off in the distance and was just begging to, like, why did we choose to go in May and not September? We could have done, and of course my mom was like, get over it. So I finally, 8 years later, get to go and experience this. And Samuel was saying he was going to come bring his Grogu. So I was like, oh, I'll bring my Grogu, right? This is Grogu. Does any of you know who this is, Grogu? Or Yoda, Baby Yoda, we called him for many years. All right, so I was going to wear him on my back and just be an accessory. But then we waited in line. And we waited and waited. It wasn't even a Star Wars line at the time. I think it was Toy Story that we were waiting. And it was funny how the kids started noticing. Samuel, Lillian, I don't remember who it was, kind of pointed at and said, that kid sees you. And they saw, and they were smiling at Grogu. And I said, oh, I've got an idea. And so I flipped it around, put it on my back, and I started moving him. Isn't it interesting how quickly people start waving just because this little creature is waving? Now, it got really fun because then I started getting really good at I've even got adults and youth waving now. It was funny because in line, you'd be sitting here, and I'd start talking to Lydia, knowing the kid is looking, and I'd look down at them and wave while I'm not looking at them. And it was great. And the more I did it, the more fun we were having. And the kids and Lydia would start pointing out people and like, oh, look, there's somebody else looking. There's someone else looking. And it's fun, right? unless you're scared. Then I started noticing the more I did this, the better I got at it. I could start moving his head up and down, moving him side to side. Use the, we got somebody even giving me advice. Yeah, we could use the force. There we go. I love that thing. He knows what I'm talking about. And it is. It's that fun thing of the joy that you can create in a moment. All of a sudden, it's not even just my family that's enjoying this. People in line are seeing what should be just a silly little toy. And it's creating joy in the moment. It's fun, right? Thank y'all so much. Y'all can sit down. That story has been stuck in my head and wanting to share it. I know I've shared with someone already, but I wanted you to see how that worked. What was really interesting about that day is more and more often we were thinking about how Grogu could do stuff and how I could do stuff with him for each thing as we were in lines over and over. We enjoyed doing this so much that we had already decided we were going to go back to Hollywood Studios for our last day. And we brought him again for that reason. And we had so much fun. And I thought it was interesting. Here we are at Disney World, experiencing this wonderful place. And yet we were having, I love Disney World. I think they're an amazing place. And I love the just idea that they are trying to create joy themselves in this park and the imagination that they build. And that's why we went. And yet, we found even more joy by creating joy ourselves in that moment. It didn't change that the wait time for that specific ride was 40 minutes. It didn't change the fact that my feet hurt. Other than the fact that it did take my thoughts off of it and put it on something else for a while. I might not have been able to leave where I was, but it did transcend the moment. It was that idea that we talk about of heaven coming to earth. This moment changed. All because, as a family, we said, well, how can we have fun in this moment? And I think we should be doing that more often. Looking at moments in our lives and saying, how can we change this to be something different? Yes, the situation still has to be handled. Yes, we still have to figure out how it's going to work out. But how can we do this in a way that we choose joy? And I'll be honest, I was debating all week if I do the whole thing with Grogu. Because I was bullied as a kid in school for liking Star Wars. Like I tell the kids all the time, I would love to have grown up in their day and age, at least for the fact that when it comes to bullying over being a geek and a nerd, has for a lot of the moment gone out the window. I was the kid who didn't tell people I read comics. I loved superheroes, but we didn't do superheroes because Iron Man hadn't come out yet and changed everything. Thank you, Robert Downey Jr. I was the kid who liked doing things that we didn't talk about. And so for me, I still feel that. When it comes to this idea of, man, am I really going to get on stage and show people me with this Grogu, with this Star Wars character that I don't know where everyone else is in this room. I know at Vaughn Hill, when I was there, there was only about two other families I talked Star Wars with. But the story that all I could think of this week when I was thinking about this was David, when he comes to Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant. And he is celebrating because God has gotten into the moment where everything's aligning. Out of every bad thing that has happened, the fact that the first 20 years of him being the king has been on the run, waiting for Saul to be taken out, but unwilling to do it himself. David is getting chastised by his wife because he started dancing in the streets. And this is what he says to her. He says, David retorted, Michal, I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Now, I will stop for a second and say, that's probably not the advice to give your wife, that my God loved me better than your dad. So this is not a marital example of how to handle a situation. We're going to skip past that part. We're going to get to this part right here where he says, yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. Because the point is, in that moment, he was joyful to give God the praise, to let people know how good God is. And that should be the same spirit that we have, this idea that we're willing to look the fool. How often have you kept yourself from doing something because you use words like, well, that's childish, or they'll think it's stupid? And yet, kids understand the simplest things are what bring us joy. They're the ones that have no problem sitting and starting to talk about the silliest of things and just love the moment when we're sitting there going, how long is this going to take? To learn from them the small acts of finding joy. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. That's, I think, the biggest part of this joy. I even saw it when I was in line. Here I am waiting in line, and we're having more and more fun with basically this little puppet in a backpack. And I'm realizing at some point, it almost felt like we could care less about the ride we're waiting in line for and more the mission that we have all of a sudden found ourselves called to of how many people can we get to wave at us while we're in line? How many smiles can we get? Interesting enough, that's the same thing that happens to Paul and Silas. In their moment, we talked about this in the Holy Spirit series, the power of the Spirit comes onto the place and it earthquake shakes and breaks everything open. The guard comes in, ready to kill himself, assuming that everyone has escaped and not wanting to take the burden of the loss. Paul stops him, and in that moment, the man says, what must I do to be saved? And I love this because this happened not because, you know, Paul had this deep theological study with him. This didn't happen because the prison guard heard anything that Paul had been saying. No, this happened because Paul and Silas were singing and the Spirit used that moment of joy to rock the world and literally shake it so that their joy could be on mission. A mission that ends by just a few verses later, it says, At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This joy overflowed from them into this man who had no idea that his life was going to change. He comes in thinking, like them earlier, that his whole life was about to be over. He thought it was done. And now he's gone from this moment to all of a sudden filled with joy because him and his family are now saved forever. All because two men, beaten and bruised, found in jail, decided, well, we could complain and argue and just sleep and hope that tomorrow gets better, or maybe we can just pray and give God glory and sing in the moment. Have you ever found yourself singing after a bad day? Have you found yourself singing? I remember once we were traveling and we were hiking in the woods and it decided to downpour on us. And it was one of those days we were grumbling and complaining. And I thought of this story and I just started singing worship songs. And it was fun how quickly the kids and family started also singing on the top of their lungs these songs as we're trudging in the rain back to our car. And it became one of my favorite experiences of that trip. Didn't change the rain. Like, I love this story because what I failed to mention, first realize the first time I ever read the story, and probably for years, only in the last few have I realized, they go back to jail after this. The very next scene is them being told, oh, by the way, sorry, because they found out they're Roman citizens. But I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. If the jailer, if the leader is coming to tell them, oh, sorry, we arrested you for without a trial, and that's not allowed because you're a Roman citizen, wait a minute, that means they're back in prison. They had this, the jailer has this meal for them, takes care of their wounds, and that by the next morning, they've gone back to be in the prison. So it's not even the fact that the joy is going to necessarily even get you out of the situation. What it is it just changes the mindset of how you're going to be in it. Will you let it fester? Will you let it cause you pain? Or will you accept the fact that, hey, maybe this is a moment that I can find joy? I'm going to invite the praise team back up. I get that life is hard. I've told teenagers for years that don't let anyone tell you different. Life is hard, but it can also be joyous. If you have God with you, yes, life is hard. That doesn't change the fact, but man, it makes it a lot easier. It lightens that burden, like we were talking last week with the backpack. That idea that when you have God walking with you, when you have others who choose to find joy in the moment, even in some of the worst moments, you can find yourselves crying and laughing at the same time. And so I call on you. At the end of the day, the choice becomes yours. Will you choose joy? Will you be one who creates, not just chooses joy for yourself, but creates joy in a way that's on mission for God, that, man, it brings a smile not only to someone's face, but you can see a life changing in that moment. All because you decided, hey, I'm going to smile in this moment. One of the last things that my uncle, I remember of him, was actually at his funeral. He had some kind of cancer, but I was about 13 years old. And the one thing I remember at his funeral is that about 8 nurses showed up at his funeral. And the one thing they wanted to tell our family is what a joy it was to be with him the last few months. That he wouldn't stop cracking jokes, that he wouldn't stop saying the most ridiculous things. But these 8 nurses knew how much pain he was in and could not believe the joy that was coming out of him. And because of that, we were able to share the story of why he was able to do that with them. And may we have that same joy that can be passed on to others and overflow through us. Thank you.